We are back here on In Focus News Radio KMAN, getting some guests here in studio. We appreciate them braving the cold weather here in the snow for being here in studio, because I think it's going to be a great segment. We've got Aaron Estabrook, Executive Director of the Manhattan Housing Authority. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Brandon.
Pleasure to have you here. Brad Clausen's here as well, MHA Commissioner. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we have a special guest here we'll be talking to in the next segment as well, and his name is Idris Khalil, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for being here. We'll get with him here in just a few minutes, but got some business to cover here first. Aaron and Commissioner Clausen are going to be talking about some different things. Aaron, do you want to start?
Yeah, so we've been, as over the last year, I've been at the Housing Authority now a year, we kind of have been working towards a transition and getting our different properties in a position that they can be sustainable and preserve for generations to come. And that's the goal. We want to preserve affordable housing, if it's federally subsidized housing, whatever we need to do to preserve safe, dignified, affordable housing in our community, given the environment that we live in with all the rising costs of everything. Housing is just so important. But our buildings haven't all... They're at a time in their lifespan that they need some attention and love. So we've started to go down a path and looking at a co-developer and looking at ways that we can reposition both Carlson Plaza and the Flint Hills Place properties. And Commissioner Clausen has been on a selection committee with us, and we've interviewed and done some things, and I'll turn it over to him to talk about some of that process.
Sure. Thank you, Aaron. Before I get started, I got to needle Dave over here and say, man, I'm going to miss seeing you on the other side of the glass there.
You come in like once every 6 months.
I know, but you know, it is now. Before it was better, so.
Well, thank you.
Yep,
we'll
miss seeing you, and good luck in your future endeavors.
Thank you.
For sure.
Thank you. Got a lot of fun things.
Good,
up.
I know you do. So, kind of to tag on what Aaron had started with, you know, when I got on the board here about, and it's been about a year ago since I got started with this, one of my goals was to kind of see what condition all of our buildings were in and look at ways we could improve those residential units. And one of the properties that really needs, you know, it's time, it needs some work, is Carlson Plaza, which is down at 5th and Pierre. And looking at alternatives for ways we could improve that, you know, and cost to repair versus potentially just starting over with that building again. We have started a process where we put out an RFQ, request for qualifications, for a co-developer to help us with that project. And we identified and interviewed a potential partner, our committee did, and you know, that went really well, I thought. We also were fortunate enough, I guess, to have partnered with National Church Residences, and they have a property on Gardenway, Garden Grove 1 and 2, that are in the flood-prone area, and they've, I know, at least twice had flood damage, and they're looking at potentially relocating their properties there. They happen to have a property just adjacent to our Carlson Plaza property, so between National Church Residences, the Manhattan Housing Authority, and a potential co-developer we'll bring in, we are looking at potential for a really nice, you know, new project down there that we can get started. It'll be a little while before we can get things rolling with that, but I think on our board agenda next week, we may have an agenda item to move forward with that co-developer project.
Yep. It's the vision of having those affordable housing units downtown where that Carlson Plaza is currently, you know, catty corner from the Boys and Girls Club and just close to Blue Earth Plaza, walkable to the downtown shops. It's really important to all of us that we preserve a space in that area for elderly, disabled, and low-income housing. And this, we want to make it as you come in over the bridge, that's the place. Hey, how do I live there? You know, that's our public housing. And we wanted to make it look good and attractive and blend into the community, but also make space for low income people or disabled or elderly to be right there in the thick of the next wave of the Art and Light Museum is going down. There's so much action down there. We want to make sure that we carve out space and preserve and make it dignified and safe for that population.
So stand by. We'll try and keep you posted as that progresses and as we get into the master planning and some things like that.
Yeah, that area you mentioned, Aaron, there's so much vibrancy and so much going to happen there in that area going forward. And it's a walkable district. You can easily, there's a grocery store right there. There's dining. There's all sorts of shopping. It's a great area.
And it's just the right time. It's not, that building is 50 years old and or a little over 50, and it's had a lot of deferred maintenance. And right now in our country, there's money going into housing preservation, and we need it. We need housing preservation. So it's all kind of lined up.
And you know, when we've looked at the potential to repair that building, but when the cost of repair starts to exceed the cost of, or the value of the building, it really doesn't make a lot of sense to go down that avenue and pump money into something that you're going to have to continue to keep. You know, with the new building, we'll have upkeep, but certainly not to the extent we will with a building of this age. So,
is this something, Aaron, you think the city would support here going forward?
I certainly hope so. We've had some initial discussions. They've been, aware, and we're already kind of a PUD there. And so there'll be some zoning discussions and neighborhood discussions and all kinds of things. But at the end, it's going to be a more energy efficient building. It's going to make blend into the neighborhood. It's going to raise, you know, everybody's expectations of what public housing is, and that's good for all of us.
All right. We have Brad here, of course, used to work at the fire department.
Yeah.
Good opportunity to talk about time change this week.
That is, yeah. Thanks for bringing that up. You can never stop, you know, being part of the fire department, right? So with time change coming up this week, always a good time to remind people to check their smoke detector batteries and change them if needed. And so I just wanted to throw that out. Smoke detectors are so important. And, you know, every time we have a fire and you hear people didn't have smoke detectors, it just makes you cringe that, you know, you don't want to see people get hurt or killed in a fire. And that's a relatively cheap means of insurance to make sure that doesn't happen. So please check and replace your smoke detector batteries as needed. And if you need more help, fire department, I know, would be happy to answer your questions on that.
All right. And you want to also put a quick plug in for CPR training.
Yeah. You know, that's another thing. When I got on this board, I've really been kind of, Aaron probably gets tired of hearing me talk about
it. Yeah.
But I think it is so important to have staffs that are trained in CPR and basic first aid. You know, there's so many times when but the potential for, you know, someone to be saved by that. And if you only use it once, that makes it worthwhile. Mm-hmm. And so we've been working to get all the MHA staff, trained up in CPR and first aid. It was an important part, obviously, of my job back at the fire department. And we always made sure, you know, we got that info out to everybody. So glad that we're able to get that done here with MHA.
Yep. All staff have done the mental health first aid training, and we're working on the CPR training. But like Brad said, you never know when you're going to need it, and when you need it and you don't have it, it's too late. So you want to be prepared and able to help those that around you that might need your CPR help.
All right, very good. Well, I wanted to ask a little bit about how things are going with the Manhattan Afghan resettlement team here. And
sure.
So I know you're kind of involved with that, Aaron.
Yeah. We're using the acronym MART, M-A-R-T, as the Manhattan Afghan Resettlement Team, and it's kind of the localized version of Operation Allies Welcome, which is the national effort that goes from last September till next September, where Afghan allies are brought in through DHS and through our military bases and vetted. And we have over 70 folks on the ground. About 13, 14 families have arrived since October, and lots of kids in schools, lots of people trying to get into permanent housing. We're helping with the Housing Authority in that role. And facilitating that is a big part of what we're doing right now in this process. But I've been so thankful to some of the individuals that have brought skills and unique perspectives to our community. And we have one here with Idris, and it's just been great to hear his starting over, I guess, process is a little bit taps into my sentimentalism of the American dream of, you know, what, how are we doing it right? You know, is it possible? Is opportunity still exist? And I get renewed hope every time I hear and listen.
I want to get to him in just a moment. I'm going to get through our commercial break first, and then I want to open the floor up to Idris. So we'll take a break, come back, and more in focus in a moment on News Radio KMAN.